The last issue of Tidal Echoes has been fun to thumb through. Poems by people that I read even before I met them. And when I did, somehow, it just made it extra special. And here is a chance to be a part of Tidal Echoes. And Shailene Moeller, who is the fall junior editor for Tidal Echoes, joins us today. This is a publication of the University of Alaska Southeast. So I want to thank you very much, Shailene. It's so great to have you here with us today. How did you first get involved?
I first got involved with Tidal Echoes back in 2018 when I submitted to Tidal Echoes for the first time. Back then, I submitted a poem that I had written in one of Emily Wall's classes, who is the Tidal Echoes mentor. And it actually got in the journal and won the Mac Barron's Prize, which is super exciting. And I've been submitting to Tidal Echoes since.
Now, that is a wonderful thing, is that through this journal, you can get to know people from all over Southeast Alaska. I mean, there are just poems, essays, photographs. And, of course, in this last issue of Tidal Echoes, there was a lot of poems about COVID. So what do you feel when you browse through Tidal Echoes? Do you feel like it's kind of like a time capsule in some ways?
It does feel that way, yes. And the 2021 edition definitely felt like a time capsule of everything everybody was experiencing during the pandemic, especially since the majority of the poems in there, including one of my own, was centered around that.
So I'd like to ask you to share some of the poems from the last issue. But before we do that, can you talk a little bit about how this magazine works, this journal works? How often does it come out? And what are the timelines for getting submissions in?
So every year, Tidal Echoes is published annually. And every year, the deadline for submissions is December 1st. After all the submissions are received, we go through the editing and the cutting and putting things together, and it is published in the first week of April every year.
How wonderful, so that every year you can have something to look forward, something new on your coffee table. Well, since we were just talking with Robert Mills about his canoe that's going to be appearing on the waterfront soon, weather permitting. You know, I wondered, we had talked about this before, about perhaps culling from Tidal Echoes a poem that sort of captures the spirit of that project.
Yes. And the poem that I brought with me is one called Overlooking by Vivian Faith Prescott. Okay.
Please go
ahead.
And
it goes like, I want to live on like you, rock sheltered and etched as a porpoise, or killer whale with my a day's work catching rain and sunlight lichen patched. Beside a record of time, dots on a leaning rock wall, noting days and nights in an old winter village. I want to animate shadows and waves like you, beneath overhanging rocks and a canvas, or an image of a face or a paddling canoe. I want to be ground stone and obsidian flakes, red pigment, finding with pitch a vantage point in these uncertain seasons. Oh, to be painted. That's one of my favorites.
Boy, Vivian Prescott has a way of nailing things with a poem, doesn't she? Gives you a very specific image that you can hold. That's what I love.
Yes.
I love about this. In fact, I've got a volume right here in my hot little hands from last year, and I think about some of my favorites, like 10 Sounds That Make You Feel More Alive by Hank Lentfer, and he was the featured author. And among the sounds that make you feel alive, the floating trumpet, the wave of whispers, the afternoon snack, the frozen burp. I don't know. You know, when you've got about 10 minutes, you know, with a cup of coffee to take a break, this book is my favorite companion. So I'm looking forward to the next one. But you've got some things to share with us, and I understand that you have one of your poems that you're going to share with us.
I do. And it was a poem that I had written during the pandemic. It's called Preserving Self, Quarantine Thoughts. Okay. You want me to read it now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Awesome. Here it goes. Like a daisy in resin, I sit frozen in time and place. Once delicate, I've hardened and now glisten. I used to grow, consume, and create. Now I'm preserved for all those to marvel at. Cold, but not artificial, at least not in the same way an image or plastic okay would be. Like a daisy in resin, I'm surrounded by things that have become too familiar. I sit sharing myself through words and images on screen. Craving connection once more, connection to the bustling world as much as connections to people. The chime of an email, the taste of microwave popcorn, the slick, cold feeling of my office floor linger in the tingling sensations in my feet and the echoes in my ears. Like a daisy in resin, I can be worn on a chain, sometimes hidden within the neck of a sweater, letting myself be a secret of my own, other times draped upon a bare chest in an exposed existence or atop a dress against a dark black fabric so I could stand out like a lone star to wish upon. Like a daisy in resin, I wait for myself to be worn proudly by my own being. And in its resin, the daisy remains forevermore to be untouched from the day it was enclosed, undisturbed by hands or beautifying tools, but not me. Like a daisy in resin, sometimes I wonder if I were preserved another way, like jam for consumption, sticky sweet or temporary, or pressed between the pages of my mother's college Bible, browning as it ages, taped to a memory, fragile as it decays. Would I serve a different person? Would I serve a different purpose in my stagnant state?
So that was a poem born of COVID. What was going through your mind when
Yes.
you wrote that? What
prompted
that?
When I wrote
that?
This, I was frustrated with like not being able to go out and do things I used to be able to. And oftentimes that feeling would make me feel lonely. And like, I didn't have as much opportunities as I used to because of COVID. So that's what most of those verses are about, is just that feeling of frustration.
Well, a poem is a good place to, a safe place to put those frustrations out, and others, of course, could probably relate to it. So before we go, you have one other poem, and this is from the featured writer for this upcoming issue. Can you share that with us?
Yes. Yes. So our featured writer for this upcoming issue is Kirsten Christensen. She has been published in Tidal Echoes numerous times in the past. And one of my favorites from the last edition was Heart as a Burning State. And this one goes, I hail from the crimson heart, tissue-papered organ, one time sinew, other sponge, tied to a stout butcher's knot, one knot ended, the other anchored. Heart scatters memories. In Sepia, snapping campfire twinkled eye. Morning lantern's light filtered through mesh of branches, screen of tent, trailed feathered cyrus. Heart is mapped by huckleberries. Stifling the verdant branch, raspberries dotting my palm like Google Map markers. Red teardrops, they travel measured like a bead. From tongue to belly, those from heart dwell in tiny homes with open shuttered windows, unlocking doors. Led to light in airy chambers on a windowsill, perches a stellar jay. Blue jar cobalt, indigo plumed cry, its morning squawk. Bellows to friends, would-be lovers, for peanuts, it will sing a song for gooseberries flight. Soon I'll pull tent stakes, dry and flag fold shelter, shed this heart, cultivate another.
Wow, so much talent in this region. And it's so wonderful that this journal can bring that forward. You know, I just came across one, Mary Lou Spartz. She turned 90 last year, but it's called Handiwork, and I just love her clean way of expressing herself. I'll read a few lines because I love this. God wears
yes.
extra tufts as she walks the wetland to check on the Canada geese resting after their long flight. Her blue jeans are damp from the light rain, but it doesn't bother her. You know, I mean, to me, it's amazing that this journal encompasses people who are writers that are 90 years old and young students from UAS. It must be a privilege to be an editor of this magazine.
Oh, it is. And it's honestly like one of the coolest things I've ever gotten to do. Like getting to write articles to represent Title Echoes, advertising for submissions, getting to do things like this interview. It's been really exciting.
Well, it's been wonderful to have here. And before we go, I guess we should also mention that you are the first Indigenous editor for this magazine.
Yes. One thing I must say is like Title Echoes has been awesome for having represented so many Native artists and authors before. And so it was a bit surprising to me to find out that I was the first, I am the first Indigenous editor, but it's also very exciting to me to be able to be representative of that.
And of course, you know, we know from poets like Ishmael Hope that are out there, a Thlinkit poet, that there's much more to be mined, I'm sure, and that you being an Indigenous person will probably have a way to find that, seek that out.
Yes, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. I'll be working with last year's junior editor, who is now the senior editor, Emily Bowman, and we'll be working together to compose a journal that honors people of all walks of life in Southeast Alaska.
And that is what makes Title Echo so special. So before we go, any quick things that you want to remind us about?
Yes. So the submission deadline for Title Echoes is December 1st, and it'll be coming out in less than 2 weeks from now. So anybody who's interested in submitting, please submit. We accept submissions for prose, poetry, photography, and all kinds of art forms. And we'd be happy to see your submissions.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Shailene Moeller, who is the fall and junior editor of Title Echoes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.